السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome back to Radio Islam Medium on Medium 1548. Time right now for our Q&A program with Mufti Azhar Hussein Ilyas. Just a reminder, our listeners out there, that our lines are open, 854-1548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27118541548. Our mobile number for tonight is 082-356-5988. That's 082-356-5988. Alternatively, email us on air@radioislam.co.za. We have Mufti Sahib online right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
How's your health?
Jazakallah, alhamdulillah.
Okay, going on for the first question for tonight, we have a lot of SMS coming in. Just to tell our listeners out there that we will be doing last week's questions first, because those people that sent in questions, we had about, I think, 104 questions that we never done last week because of lack of time. We'll be taking those questions first, and thereafter going to this week's question, inshallah. Taking the first question, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib. A woman has lost her infant. The couple maintain that Jannah is guaranteed for them whilst living in the total disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Please explain on this.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very important and interesting question, because if a person loses a infant, then definitely that hadith talks about that inshallah the infant will be waiting at the door of Jannah and crying and stating that I will not enter until I see my parents in. Now let us just understand something, that on the day of resurrection, there is going to eventually be three areas. Jahannam for those who deserve it. Jannat for those who have deserved it and going there by the grace and mercy of Allah. And a buffer zone where it is going to be in between Jannat and Jahannam, called Araf. And the Nabalig children, those who have passed away insane from birth, and those who have been mentally incapacitated, and those whose scales have broke even, meaning they are balanced equal, are going to go there. They are then going to be shown Jannat and Jahannam. Subsequently, they are going to choose Jannah. Now, if we put our sequence in order, then how late is going to be the entry of that person who himself never go to Jannah out of his own good actions and proper iman, and waiting until Araf is destroyed? Can you imagine the pain, punishment, difficulty, agony, anxiety of that person? So definitely one should not rely on the child that is going to be waiting there. That child is going to be waiting as per sequence after Araf has been already destroyed. So it's going to be a long time. And one small difficulty and punishment in the Akhirah will be upon a person like he has no joy on earth at all. So these people cannot sit on their laurels and be lackadaisical and say, no, because we lost our child in infancy, we are going to go to Jannah. Like the people who have got children who are Hufaz and Hafizas, they think, oh, I'm going to Jannah. This depends on the grace of Allah Jalla Majdahu. That entry into Jannah is by the sheer, mere grace and only and solely at the decision of Allah Jalla Majdahu. So a person should strive and not be like a person who is saying, oh, I will just rely on my children who have passed away. That attitude is definitely not conducive to proper Islamic behavior.
Jazakumullah for that, Mr. Sahib. Let's take the next question. Next question says, concerned brother, it says, Dear Mufti, we know that in today's time, there are a lot of fitnas and vices out there. What can a Muslim do to stay away from these vices and to live a life according to the Sharia so that a person can attain Jannah?
Definitely. We also agree that this is the age of fitna, fasad, trial, tribulation. And to such an extent that the person, average person, is now getting confused what to do, what not to do also. Let alone the enemies of Islam making life difficulty via the media, via the television, via the magazines, via all the evils which are all ready to lynch like vultures upon the morals of human beings. However, simple formula that for a male, perform Salat with Jamaat regularly. Adorn a beard. Thirdly, keep the garments above the ankles. I do not have time to expound on this, but if a person looks at these three things, then inshallah his taqwa taharat will be intact and his iman will get strong and he'll be in good environment and company. For a female, that she must be extremely regular in salah, adorn the hijab, and be obedient as long as her husband or parents tell her to do those things which are in conformity to Sharia. That's the formula of success. Ji.
JazakAllah. Let's take the next question. Just to remind our listeners, our mobile number is 0823565988. Our lines are open. 0118541548. If you are calling from abroad, +27118541548. Is it permissible for females, young and old, to ride horses?
Females to ride horses, the fuqaha have written, it is makruh. It is detested. However, if they saddle the horses, like how the men do not saddle them, then definitely the karhayat, the detestment, goes away. However, if the horse is sufficiently padded, adequately padded to serve as a shock absorber, then it is permissible without any detachment.
JazakAllah for the Mufisal. Let's take the next question. Okay, we have a question here. Is it sunnah to get off the right side of the bed? If yes, which is considered to be the right side of the bed?
It is sunnah to put the right foot out first. So get off any type of the side of the bed, put the right foot out first. So don't worry about right or left, otherwise you'll have to be climbing over people to get on the right side of the bed. So when you come off the bed, whether the bed is on the right, when you come on the right or the left, put your right foot out first.
Next question we have, it says, Assalamu alaikum dear Mufti, I'm going to KwaZulu-Natal for a week. How does one perform the 5 times salah? Should it be performed with full rakats or not?
Well, Allah take the person safely and bring him back safely and make his journey easy. You will make kasar. Kasar shorten the salah. That means fajr will remain 2, zuhur 2, asr 2, maghrib 3, isha 2, and witr will remain 3. That is if you are not performing salah in jamaat. Once you join Salah behind a Muqeem Imam, then you'll perform it in full. Otherwise, if you are performing it alone, individually, then you'll perform as I have stated. However, even in journey, if you have opportunity and you are staying near a masjid, make it a point to make Salat with Jama'ah. Obviously, you are in journey, you are not classified a Muqeem, you will make Qasar, that means you will shorten Salah and not make it in full. Allah Jalla Majdahu has given that concession. So be happy, deed is easy, utilize the concession given.
JazakAllah for that, Muntasa. We have a sister online from Roshni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana, and wa alaikum assalam, this is Muntasa. I have two questions, please. I'd like Muntasa to answer that. What is the significance of Surah Muhammad? And I'd like to know how close family can you give zakat and sadqah. I'd like to know that. I'll listen on the radio.
Okay, JazakAllah for the sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Any other callers? Are there any other callers? No, okay. No other callers. Let's take our next.
What are the second questions?
Sister said, how close family can you give zakat to? That means maybe how close must your family be?
Surah Muhammad, we'll check later. That's got to do with fazails of surahs. The zakat. Understand one very simple method of understanding who you can give zakat to and who you cannot give zakat to. If a person stands up and spreads the arms, all from where the person is coming from, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, you cannot give. All from which the person, although all those who came from that person, son, daughter, you cannot give zakat to. On the sides, the brother, sister, you can give zakat, and to all their progenies, all their children, etc. So all up, you cannot give, father, mother. All down, son, daughter, cannot give. Sideways, brother and their children give, can give. Sister and their children can give. Very simple to understand that.
JazakAllah for that, Mufisa. Let's take the next question. Maintains and Hina, it says the question here, is this a sunnah in Islam or not?
Understand something about sunnah. One is, for example, we say it is the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salam that they kept beards. But jurisprudically, it is wajib. Sunnah in that case will mean way, pattern, mode of conduct. So sunnah, there are many types. Sunnah-e-Mawqida, Sunnah-e-Ghair-Mawqida, Sunnah-e-Adiya, Sunnah-e-Zawaid. So to understand it, for example, we have Masnoon Duas. Cleverly, the ulama ikram do not say Sunnah Duas, they say Masnoon Duas. That this is what Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read. It is not jurisprudically sunnah. Sunnat Abikum Ibrahim is the hadith concerning Qurbani. But Qurbani is wajib according to jurisprudence. So application of henna, etc., this will be the decoration, the beautification for females lies in color, and the decoration and the beautification for men lies in smell, fragrance, ether. So one will not say now that jurisprudently sunnah it is to apply mehdi. We say this is what the Sharia allows us to do. If a person does it, it's good. If a person does not do it, then he will not be a sinner. So the application has to be understood carefully. Because the ruling, first of all, jurisprudically, whether something is sunnah, and the subsequent orders, whether to leave it, discard it, to do it, what are the repercussions? If a person, female, applies mehdi, it is permissible. Because that has been recommended in Sharia. If a female does not apply it, the person is not sinful. So jurisprudically, it is not sunnah.
جزاكم الله خير مفتي صاحب وهيب. أي برادر فروم بريت، السلام عليكم. هلو
هلو،
السلام عليكم.
السلام
عليكم. السلام ورحمة الله. يا برادر يو ان اي،
وانا اعرف سمتين من هلو.
السلام عليكم. Okay, I think we lost your brother. Okay, now let's take the next question. It says, is it wajib to cover one's hands and feet just like how it is wajib to cover one's face? This is for a woman. Jazakallah.
It is good to do so. It is good to do so. It is, however, what they talk about feet and heads.
The hands, yeah, and the feet.
Yeah, that it is not wajib. It is not wajib. However, some fuqaha are now saying, in our age, it is necessary to cover the feet, but not the heads as yet in our age. The face, it is wajib to cover the face. In Ihram, it is written in Umdatul Fiqh that it is permissible for the woman to cover the hands also. Obviously, her feet are covered. Her hands also, the question there is, can she cover the hands with the gloves? It is written, yes, permissible.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti. Let's take the next question. Okay, I think we've got a call online. Okay, no call. Let's take the next question first. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti Sahab. If a doctor gave me medication on credit that did not solve my problem, do I still have to pay for the medication?
Obviously. He gave you medicine and he was good enough to give it on credit. Now you owe him that money. You are indebted to him. If you do not pay him the money, then the consequences of not paying a debt come into effect. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated clearly that all the sins of a martyr are forgiven except debt. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not perform the salat al janazah of a person who is in debt. So, because the medication did not work, doesn't mean now you do not have to pay. The doctor was kind enough, good enough, he gave you the medicine on tick, on credit, you pay.
JazakAllah. Let's take the next question. It says, can a man make jama'ah with his wife if you miss the salah at the masjid? And if you can, how do you stand if it's just you and your wife performing that certain salah?
It's very good that a person misses the salat and performs the jamaat with his wife. Please do not interpret this by saying, oh, the Mufti said it's very good to miss jamaat. No, if a person missed jamaat, then it is very good that to perform salah with your wife. However, your wife will stand like the imam stands in the first saf and the wife in the second saf. The wife will not stand near the husband. Why? Because if whilst the salat is on, if either one has to touch either one, then their salat will break, become invalidated. So she must be behind him at a distance, that even when she's making sijda, she must not touch her husband. If she touches the husband, their salat is invalidated. So she must be at that distance that even in sijda, there must be no possibility of her touching the husband.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Let's take the next question. It says, we have an SMS question that says, what dua should a female read in order to find a good partner for marriage?
Okay, the person can email me, mufti@mweb.co.za, and inshallah we'll send you an entire booklet. Meanwhile, two rakats of Salatul Hajat, Salat of Need, is very good. Be regular in Salat, and every day perform two rakats at least, nafil salat, salat of deed, and plead to Allah Jalla Majdahu Inshallah, he will answer your prayers.
JazakAllah, sir. We have, I think it's an email here that says, or facts. The person says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. While I was living overseas, my credit card was fraudulently used here in South Africa, and there were 5 transactions done at the same time, using the same till each time. The transaction amount is quite a large sum. This happened about 2 years ago. The bank only reversed half the amount, saying I am liable for the other half, which I am still disputing. According to the Sharia, am I responsible for this amount as I am the card holder?
You're not responsible for that account. If you, in your mind, are fully honest and you are fully aware that that is not your transaction, you've got a solid case that you are overseas, that your card has been utilized here. However, if there is any hidden agendas, if you gave any person to utilize your card and you know that, then you are liable. But if you are honest and you say that definitely you got no hand in those underhand transactions, you are not liable for that. You should pursue the matter in court and make sure that the bank is liable for that. You are not liable for that.
JazakAllah. Let's take the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum. If you are a musafir, how does one read the Jumu'ah Salah? Does one read the Sunnahs as well?
If this will apply to all the musafirs, whether you are in Jumu'ah Salat or in any other Salah, if you have got sufficient time, then perform all the Sunnahs. Do not discard the Sunnah. Do not leave out the Sunnah. The Sunnah would give you proximity to Allah Jalla Majdahu, peace of mind, tranquility, barakah, blessings, and bring boons of favor on you. Do not leave out the Sunnah unless you got a valid excuse of time and you want to rush. So, if you got time, then perform all the Sunnahs before the Jummah and after the Jummah. If you have no time, perform Jummah Salah and then go and attend to your requisitions which are pressing you. Similarly, to all those who are on journey, it is grossly not logical. And think about it. It is grossly not just that you miss out the Sunnah and you go and sit in front of the television for 3 hours in your hotel room, in your apartment. How shameful that is. This is, unfortunately, our state of affairs. We should alter these situations.
JazakAllah Fadil Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question. It says, a Muslim family had a Haldi night. What is it? Haldi night where they smear the groom with arad. Is this Islamic?
These are all customs which we have got from our ancestors. And these are rituals, and these are unfortunately held and upheld so diligently that if not done, then we feel that there is no marriage in the home. And one is to have a joyous occasion, but to regard this joyous engagement with this paraphernalia, such as these nights, that they turn out to be grossly immodest and immoral. And a lot of places you have both men and women indulging in such activities, throwing color at each other. This reminds you of the customs and rituals of those who are not Muslims. So we should be very careful not to be imitating the religious activities of others. And if it is done thinking that we're getting a reward, then definitely that's an innovation. It is definitely marriage is a joyous occasion, but we should do the and have the entertainment, the joyous moments within the limits and boundaries and parameters of Sharia.
JazakAllah for that, Mutasab. Let's take the next question. When you are in the qabr, why must one take their shoes off?
When you are lowering the body, now for respect, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that honor the deceased just as when they are alive. So now if you are lowering a person, you're not going to lower him undignified. And plus, if your shoes has got impurity on it, and you will lower yourself with that impurity, that is not good. Secondly, if you are going to be lowering yourself with shoes, and you're going to touch that body, then you, what it is better to touch is with shoes or without shoes? Definitely, even intellect will tell us that you should touch it without shoes. Can you imagine that you are lowering your father's body and you mistakenly tramp the feet or the head or the stomach, and if you had shoes on, what will be the feeling in your heart after that? But if you mistakenly touched your father's body with your feet without shoes, then you will feel comfortable that this was done mistakenly and I had no shoes on.
Jazakumullah for that. Let's take the next question. It says, I am a sister who is going to travel to KwaZulu-Natal by plane. How does one perform salah on the plane?
If you are able to perform salah on plane, then it is permissible and not necessary to repeat. If you are unable to do so, then you may, out of dire necessity, that it will be impossible for you, when you know it is impossible for you to perform salah on the plane, then to combine the salah and board the plane, or at the destination to combine the salah.
Is it more rewarding to give zakat to an organization or to my unemployed brother?
Definitely help your unemployed brother. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi and the big scholars of Islam, and if you look at the jurisprudence books too, they clearly state that acts of charity should begin at home. And they've got this general saying, charity begins at home. And when a person helps his near and dear ones, it is better. When a person helps his relatives, it is far better. When a person helps those upon whom they have rights, then it is more rewarding also. So help those who are close by. And helping those who are close by will breed a good, healthy society. If any society helps those who are close by, brothers who help sisters who are close by, sisters who help brothers who are in trouble close by, and if we help our relatives around us, then the society, inshallah, will not be stretching out their heads to organizations, etc. Organizations are there to facilitate and to accommodate when a person has got too much and he now cannot source out himself. The best is every person supposed to be doing inspection in loco of his relatives first, and helping and aiding and supporting them first before he even goes towards organizations.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. Just to remind listeners, line is open 854-154-8082-356-5988. That's our mobile number for tonight. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. I would like to know if a man continuously tells his wife, you are not my wife, and if after 30 years he tells his wife he has found someone else, is this acceptable?
If he was saying his wife, you are not my wife, and he meant divorce, then he divorced his wife long ago. And now what's the purpose? If he had got intention of divorce after 30 years of so-called marriage to say, I found another one. 30 years ago, he's supposed to have asked this masala that he's saying his wife, you are not my wife. This is what we call talaq kinaya, ambiguous divorce, that he uses words not directly but indirect. Indirect speech, ambiguous speech, will depend on the intention of the sayyah. So if he meant by "you are not my wife" a divorce, then his wife has been divorced long ago. He should go to some alim with his difficulty. This brother is in serious trouble. He should go and present his entire scenario case to the alim, and inshallah they'll be able to guide him properly. Ji.
Going on to the next question, it says, the brother wants to ask Mufti Sahib if there is a thing called the makruh bone in the chicken.
The makruh bone?
Ji.
The brother should look at Fatawa Rahimiyah Volume 1, currently English translation, and he'll get a list of 7 things which are not permissible to eat. And perhaps he's referring to the marrow and classifying it as a bone. Gee.
Next question, if you see a white cat in your dream, what does it mean?
This is not programmed for a dream interpretation. However, that to see a cat in your dream does not mean that you are going to become poor. People generally think that seeing cats brings bad luck. Gee.
Okay, Mufti Sahib, we know this, we get this question every week on Istikhara. Some people are not clear about it. Says, you mentioned before about performing Istikhara Salah during the day.
Gee.
Please advise more on this as to how one read
the Salah. How the person did it in the evening, similarly you do it in the day. And after the performance of that salat, then whilst you're walking around, a person doesn't walk around blankly. A person doesn't walk around without thought. A person doesn't walk around aimlessly. A person, whilst even talking to someone, he thinks about something else. A person, while serving customers, he thinking about something else. We are now, unfortunately, in the age of multitasking. So whilst we are doing something, we are thinking about something. And especially when the case deserved a Salatul Istikhara, that means this is on the mind. So after performance of this Salat during the day, the person's inclination, where it is going, do it or leave it. And then the person can be thereby guided accordingly.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. We have the brother from KwaZulu Natal. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Mulana. How are you?
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, very well. And assalamu alaikum to Mufti Sahib. Mulana, permit me, I have, I think, about 4 questions.
Fine.
JazakAllah. Khairan. My first question is for Mufti Sahib is, how should one say JazakAllah? Is it JazakAllah, the correct terminology? Some say JazakAllah, JazakAllah, JazakAllahu Khairan. And how should the other party respond? So if Mufti Sahib could please enlighten me on that, that's the first question. My second question is, how should a believer respond to calamities? You know, when a calamity befalls someone, then how should the believer respond to that? The third question is, on certain auspicious nights, there's common practice among certain people that they phone or send an SMS asking for maaf or forgiveness. And is this a recommended practice, or is it just something that people do out of necessity because it's an auspicious night? But then they get back to their old ways, and then a year later they start again with the same story, you know. So if Mufti Sahib could please enlighten me on that. And lastly, in our locality, after the Asr Salah, some of the elders immediately get up after the Salah, the Asr Salah, or after the Dua, and then they shake hands. Is this a practice that was done in the times of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Jim Fisat.
The first question is, by the way, this brother, he asked a question last week about Hazrat Uzair. And I can refer him, we can check up the whole discussion about him is in a kitab by Ibn Kathir, that means Hafiz Imaduddin, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has written a kitab, Stories of the Anbiya. And there's a lot of details about Hazrat Uzair, whether he was a Nabi, who he was, where he stayed, and what he practiced, and how he preached. All those things are detailed there. And if memory serves me right, last week when this brother phoned, then he did not say in my locality. And this week when he phoned, he said in my locality. However, the correct is to say Jazakumullah. The correct procedure is to say Jazakumullah. If a person says Jazakallah, that is sufficient also. And the person obviously did something to earn this dua. If he wants to make a dua for the person who said Jazakumullah, then if he wants to say Hayakumullah, that's permissible, meaning that may Allah Ta'ala keep you alive and healthy for a long time. As far as calamity response is concerned, that something happens to you or any person, then which is not good, which is interpreted immediately as not good, we should look at various aspects. Have I paid my zakat? Two, am I involved in any major sin? Thirdly, am I involved in any actions that bring the wrath of Allah? Fourthly, am I involved in any actions that bring the curse of Allah? Fifthly, am I oppressing someone? Am I usurping the rights of anyone? Sixthly, is this a mere trial or tribulation for me? Seventhly, this could be to give me a jolt so that I become near to Allah. Certain times, a lot of times in fact, man behaves in a manner then he forgets Allah Ta'ala. Allah gives him a jolt, then he begins to remember Allah. And Allah wants him via the jolt to remember him and come close to him. Eighthly, that this action perhaps is forgiveness for his sins, elevating his status, ninthly. And tenthly, that this small calamity has taken place to avoid a bigger catastrophe. As far as these big nights, we should realize something, that these auspicious nights, first of all, they are enumerated as five. One is Laylatul Qadr, Shab-e-Barat, Ashura night, and two Eid nights, five. There is no formal ibadat on this night. There is no formal congregation in these nights. There is no beautification and decoration of places of worship in this night. There is no official gatherings in the night. There is no official talks to be given. If it is given, some ulama say, okay, no official talks need to be given. And there is no official khatams supposed to be done on these nights. And to make mafi on these nights is definitely not recommended, not proven, not substantiated. As he himself says, they go back to their own ways. As soon as we hurt someone, we should ask for maaf. As soon as we take in someone's property, return it. As soon as we have injured someone, recompensate for that. Don't wait for some auspicious night. How we know that we are going to be alive till the Shab-e-Barat or Laylatul Qadr or the night of Muzdalifah or the nights of Eid? How we know we are going to be alive? That is why Shariat is saying as soon as we harm, injure someone, immediately you seek forgiveness. And by seeking forgiveness, immediately there is tremendous barakah. To shake hands after salah, Fatawa Rashidiyah, it is written that this is the actions of the Shias. So we should abstain. There is no such thing as shaking hands after any salah.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. We have a brother from Erasmia. Let's take the next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, brother.
Mustafa, I had an incident in Queen Street in Pretoria where Maulana was reading Namaz. Before he started, he saw a guy who folded his pants on top. So he told him to put it down under the below the ankle. So I don't know. Now I ask him why. He says if you fold the pants, your namaz is not kabul.
Oh, okay, I'll commit.
And then the other one, he says he must close the chest buttons up till the neck, because there is a haram hadi that you can't, the namaz also you can't, your namaz will be forfeited if you leave it open your chest.
Okay, I'll comment on that too.
So just give me the reply about that, please.
On A.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
A Muslim, a good Muslim, should have the garments above the ankles all the time. And especially in Salah. And in some, alhamdulillah, Jamaat Khalas, etc., I know Imams who specifically before the Salah request the Musallis to raise their trousers and garments above the ankles. And that is a very good habit. And that is excellent. So I cannot understand the reason and logic and dynamics of why he told the person that you must put your Salah pants below the ankles. And as far as makbul, the brother used the word makbul, our Salat is valid. Even if when we have got our garments above our ankles, our Salat is valid. Makbul, accepted, that is in the hands of Allah. Our responsibility is to make the Salah and make it as best as possible so that we can at least reach the status of validity. Then acceptance is in the hands of Allah. The Imam, I think, with due respect, he has erred here. Secondly, that there is clear ahadith available where Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they should use one garment, meaning one lengthy kurta which had no buttons. And they were able to see their chest. So obviously the chest was open. And their salat was valid. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not object to them. So this concept of buttoning up for acceptance of salat is also not adequately substantiated. Ji.
Let's take the next question. If a person is owing money on his credit card, does he pay zakat first or his credit card first?
He must pay what he owes. And after he pays what he owes, obviously zakat formula is assets minus liabilities. And when you have got assets left, 2.5% of that. So he must pay what he owes, unless he is got so much of assets, and at the time of calculation of zakat, this credit card which he owes is just a minute little portion of his liability. So that will come under the section, under the column of liability. However, as a advice to all those who are listening, and to myself also, that do not go into the circle of utilizing credit cards, plastic cards. The further we stay away from the plastic card as a monetary form of transaction, the better for us. A person, when he uses the card, he does not realize he's spending so much. Before he knows what happened, his money is finished, he's in debt, paying interest, earning, deserving the wrath of Allah, and having a battle with Allah Jalla Majdahu. And no one can win against Allah.
JazakAllah for that. Let's see the next question. Just to remind listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27118541548. Our mobile number is 0823565988. Taking the next question, a brother used to listen to a lot of Qawwali cassettes, and now he does not. What does he do with the cassettes?
He clears it out. He's got cassettes, and cassettes can be cleared out, meaning they can be overridden, and he must now tape Qirat and listen to Qirat and listen to permissible nazams on it.
Okay, we have a next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Just want to ask Mufti Saab, is it permissible to buy a cell phone on a contract? And he says they need the answer quite urgently.
Permissible to do so.
Next question says, a sister has a brother that is not working. He depends on his wife and two daughters that are working. Is he liable for zakat?
He himself has no money. Therefore, he will require money to maintain, sustain, provide for himself. Provided, obviously, he has got no gold jewelry, and you can make an inspection, ask him a few questions. When he is destitute, then inshallah you can give him your zakat. It will be valid.
Next question. Please give me the dua for an intention to perform the Hajj.
Be extremely regular in Salat and recite a lot of Durood. Inshallah, Allah will take you for Hajj.
Okay, taking the next question, does Salah break if one sneezes or yawns in Salah? And what if somebody sneezes, what does he do? Does he say Alhamdulillah?
If you sneeze, do not say anything in Salah. If you yawn in Salah, unfortunately that's a sign that Shaitan is having the better of you in Salah even. So try not to cough or yawn or sneeze in Salat. And if a person says Alhamdulillah, then although the Salah is not broken, because Alhamdulillah is part of a ayat of Quran al-Kareem, but it is definitely not the best of actions to do.
Taking the next question, Mustafa, it says, can you sit in the plane and read Salah? And the second question is, can you read Salah with short sleeves for men?
The in the plane, you can perform Nafil Salat while sitting. I have not seen anywhere clear text where you can perform Farz Salat while sitting in the plane. Sometimes I've heard people say that you can do so, but when I asked for proof, no proof is forthcoming. Yes, Nafil Salat, you can sit and perform in the plane. Obviously, you have to be in the state of wuzu, etc. The direction, even if the direction changes, the Salat is still valid whilst you are sitting and performing Nafil Salat in the plane. As far as short sleeves are concerned, then it is makruh to perform Salat with short sleeves in that area where everyone is performing Salat with long sleeves. This masala has been discussed by Mufti Abdul Rashid Ludhianvi in Ahsanul Fatawa.
Next question, if a Muslim sells goods where customers buy on credit, like the credit card, does the Muslim person become guilty of witnessing an interest transaction? What is the ruling?
It is permissible, makruh. Transaction is valid.
Next question that we have, it says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti, if you dream you're killing someone, what does it mean?
They would not lock you up for murder, but you should assess yourself that unfortunately you are doing certain things in your life which are completely contrary to human dignity, and that is why you're having that dream. So please look at your character and look at your 24-hour lifestyle. There's something drastically wrong that you are doing against human beings. Assess it, you'll realize there's some very big flaw.
Next question. Okay, let's take the next caller online. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I'd like to know in what para will you find Dwa in the Los Angeles?
The?
Dwa in the Los Angeles.
Dua when a loss occurs, okay.
Yes.
Jazakallah for that. Assalamu alaikum. See you, Mr. Saab.
He's asking you for what? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Because that's his dua. That's his dua when the loss occurs.
Gee.
But no, you know
that. It's in the second juz. It's in the second juz of the Quran.
Second para of the Quran.
Gee. Jazakallah for that, Mr. Saab. Okay, let's take the next question. Just to tell the brothers, it is in the second juz of the Quran, and you can find it there, inshallah, the second juz of the Quran in Sayyidul Sufaha min al-Nas. Next question we have: if you have an Islamic world, if you have an un-Islamic world, what must you do? Should you make a new Islamic world?
Definitely. When you have got an un-Islamic world, then immediately make an Islamic will, and if you are married in nuptial contract and you are not married in anti-nuptial contract minus the equitable system, then you should go to a lawyer who will teach you how to reverse that nuptial contract, because the nuptial contract will make life difficult for all those around you when you die. And it may not allow the Islamic will to be executed accordingly. So, first of all, you have to look at your marriage status, whether it is nuptial contract or ANC minus equitable system. However, notwithstanding everything and everything, go inside an Islamic will immediately.
Let's take the next question. Okay, on the same SMS, we have a question. It says, should you make an, what can one do with old Islamic kitabs and Qirat cassettes? Should you bury them or burn them?
If you have got the ability and the facility to bury them, do so. Last resort, burn them. Yeah.
It says, people say, when between a calamity occurs, or when a sickness occurs, your sins fall away. Is this true?
In most cases. I've explained 10 reasons tonight why calamities and what calamities do.
It says, please say whether Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives all sins if you beg for repentance on Yawmul Arafah.
The hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear that when a person goes for Hajj and performs Hajj, and the reward, one reward is he will go to Jannah. The only result is, and the only jaza is Jannah. The second one, he comes back like a newborn baby. But the precondition for this is that when he performs Walillahi al-Hajj, that he performs Hajj lillah, for Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. So when a Haji goes for Hajj, he's supposed to free himself from debt, major sins, and prepare himself for pleasure of Allah. When he has freed himself from major sins, then on Arafat, all the minor sins are forgiven. According to some scholars, some major sins can be forgiven there too. But everybody is unanimous that minor sins are referred to in Arafat and in those times when forgiveness takes place. A person owes a person even 100 rand and weeps and cries and holds the ghilaf of the Kaaba under the Mizan al-Rahmat in the Hatim, he will not be forgiven. He must give the 100 rand back, then he'll be forgiven. Yes, other sins, if he owes Allah Jalla Majdahu Salah, giving of Zakah, etc., then he has to repay that.
Let's see the next question we have. It says, how true is this story that when Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on the Mi'raj, he led Salah for all the Anbiya, and this was the first Ijtima?
The narration about leading Salat of the Anbiya alayhi salam is definitely recorded, authenticated, reliable. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam took Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam from Mecca to Baytul Muqaddas, Masjid Aqsa, and the Anbiya alayhi salam were awaiting him, and this is what we call the Alam al-Misal, the reflections. And reflection in such a manner that you feel that they are there, but in reality they are not there. That meaning they are not there in body, but their reflections are there. That's a lengthy discussion. However, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam ushered him to lead the Salah. As far as the first istima, I do not understand what they mean by this was the first istima. Prior to that, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Darul Arqam should have gatherings, and I've written about this in a kitab called Tabligh Made Easy, where we prove from the gatherings of Darul Arqam that there should be gatherings of Sahaba for Ta'aleem and for Tarbiyat, and also food was being prepared and given there. So those istimas were long before the Miraj.
Taking the next question, Mustafa, it says, Allah has given birds wings to fly. Is it permissible to keep birds in cages?
Those birds which can be accustomed and they are habitual to be accustomed in cages, it is permissible to keep them in cages. But those birds which are not accustomed to be not in their natural environment, then it is definitely makruh to haram to cage them.
Okay, well, so we have another dream to interpret. It says a sister has a dream. She was sitting under a palm tree and she saw a horse passing past her. Thereafter she saw a snake passing. Thereafter for the third time she saw a horse again. Or second time she saw a horse once more. Can you interpret this dream?
Now, you know that this program, repeatedly saying, is not a dream interpretation program. That this person should know amongst her close contacts is someone who is going to try to harm her. And she should now look for some method of running very far from that person. Gee.
Early on you mentioned the answer on the makruh bone in the chicken. We have a request from my brother just to repeat the volume which it was found in.
Fatawa Rahimiyah, volume 1. But that is now the old translation. Our translation, inshallah, of Fatawa Rahimiyah, with the help of Allah Jalla Majdahu, it will be completed this year. At the end of this year, Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri Ramtullah Alayhi, when he passed away, Fatawa Rahimiyah was completed in 10 volumes in Urdu, and each volume was 400 pages. So this year, alhamdulillah, it should be finished. And because we are going to leave out the technical information which is applicable for the knowledge of the ulama, so inshallah it should come out in about 5 intense volumes. But currently the Fatawa Rahimiyah that is translated, I think, by Professor Qureshi, then it is the volume 1.
Next question that we have, it says, what is Mufti Saab's view on use of illegal pirated computer software?
Our ulama ikram are divided in this issue. Some of our ulama ikram are saying there is copyright on intellectual properties. Others are saying there is no copyright, whether it is intellectual property or whether it is tangible materialistic property. So because our great ulama are having differences about this issue, then the person should seek a fatwa from his heart and do what he wants.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Let's take the next question. Is it permissible to invest in shares in the stock exchange?
Currently, many articles are floating on the internet concerning this. We are of the opinion that it is permissible provided that the commodity purchased is permissible to sell in the light of the Sharia.
We have a brother online from Coxstar. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Mudisab, I wanted to know if a non-Muslim passes away, what is the masala concerning Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilaihi Rajiun? Can a person read that? And the second question is, what is the masala concerning children going to the masajid? A brother says that during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein used to jump on the back of Rasulullah while he was in namaz. So, what's the masala concerning children going to namaz? These are small children, and also insane people and women attending the masajid.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Two questions.
As far as the non-Muslim person passing away, then that is not recited as a dua, it is recited as a bereaving, as a calamity has come, a something that was not supposed to happened all of a sudden. So this is to console yourself. Actually, this dua is for the person who is reading it, that he gets his iman focused properly. So your person can recite this dua even when he hears of non-Muslims being affected. You hear on the news, floods have come and calamity has struck somewhere, and Muslims and non-Muslims are being affected. Then to recite Inna Lillahi is no problem. As far as the children, the hadith is clear in Ibn Majah that do not bring your children and insane people to the masjid. Now, children, because they do not understand the laws, rules, regulations of the masjid. Women, there are so many rules and so many ahadiths. Mufti Kifayatullah Rahmatullah Alayh has written a whole kitab about where women should perform the salat. Lama Sayyid Palampuri, Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Deoband, has edited that book and given it new subheadings and simplified the difficult text in that book, and he's called it Dekh Bibiya Kaha Namaz Parti Hai. Inshallah, someday we will translate that book, where he brings about 40 ahadiths to prove that the females should perform their salat at home. The incidents of Hazrat Hassan and Hussein on the back of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the speciality pertaining to the grandchildren of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was not a rule. If it was a rule, all the Sahaba should have brought their children. But this was a exception to the rule. And remember, if you know the geographical situation of where Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala and her home or room was, right near Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they virtually could crawl out of the room into the masjid onto Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's back. And this, I still have to check properly whether the climbing of the grandsons on Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's back, was it on Faraz Salat or Nafil Salat? Ji.
Next question, it goes, we have a brother from Zakaria Park. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Mufti Sahab, I wanted to ask a question. Concerning congregation in masjid and istimas, you mentioned that it's not advisable to congregate, whereby, say for instance, at istimas they have namaz facilities, and then after that is bayan. It goes on whole night, the next morning and so forth. Is that permissible? And also, is it permissible or is it a good idea to make maulud at home after namazes, after faraz namazes, and to make zikr programs at home, not in masjids specifically? I listen to the edge of that.
There is an article, if anybody wants it, that is not published yet. It is an article by one of the Sarfaraz Khan Sahab, Dawud Barakatuhum, should make dua for this great personality. I think his age is over 90 at the moment. And his Kitab Raya Sunnah is coming this year. We have, it's already, I think, in the country, translated it, and it is against innovations. And he has written about raising voices in the masajid. We have translated it, not published. Any person wants it can email me, muftie, M-U-F-T-I-E, at mweb.co.za. Inshallah, I'll send it to you. Also, that at times, especially on these issues, we express what we have understood from the Sharia. If there is any other person who has got any different view, and that view can be substantiated by the sources of Sharia, you're most welcome to send it to me, muftie, at mweb.co.za. But please do not tell me when you send that email that so-and-so Maulana is doing it, or this reputed Maulana is doing it, or this reputed renowned Mufti is doing it, because they are not a proof in Sharia, but give me proofs in Sharia. And those who understand what I'm talking about, you'll understand it. To congregate in the home or in the masjid, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says in a commentary of Mishkat called Mirkat that Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in should not gather in the masjid or in the homes for zikr. So we should abstain. And to have these celebrations, etc., are not substantiated in Islam, therefore we should not participate. To give a speech in the masjid after Isha Salat is permissible. And to have educational programs in the masjid is permissible. To have educational programs in the masjid is permissible. And to have educational programs and therefore thereafter have a rest and then continue the educational programs, that is permissible. Depends on the capability and capacity of those who are in the masjid. And to have educational programs after the Fajr Salat is permissible. However, we should not make it a compulsory issue, what we call iltizam. We should not make something nafil, obligatory or wajib. People want to sit, they can sit. People do not want to sit, must be at liberty to go. Ji.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question. Is it correct to leave equal parts to sons and daughters? If not, how can it be corrected? Both parents have passed away.
The Shari division is obvious, two parts for the male and one part for the female. If the deceased have left an un-Islamic will, then all those who are going to inherit should sit down, and for the benefit of the deceased parents, make a decision that we should rectify their error, rectify that un-Islamic will, and give it a Islamic ethos, give it an Islamic output, and rectify it, correct it, so that it becomes Islamic in nature. Ji.
Let's take the next question that says, if you have a heavy flu and you can't make it for the day's salah, what should be done?
If you are definitely ill and sick, then make your salat at home. Don't miss your salat.
Okay, same SMS, different question. It says, what does it mean if one had a dream of pelting the shaitan on the night of Eid al-Adha?
Inshallah, you'll go for Hajj.
Inshallah. Next question, if you have a daughter who is defiant and the dad doesn't cooperate in disciplining the child, and the mom feels she fears the wrath of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, what does the mom have to do? Please give an answer on radio. Anonymous desperate sister.
Say that, and how do you type? Say that question again.
Okay, it says a daughter is defiant and the father does not tell her to do anything right. if whatever she does, she carries on. The father doesn't stop her or reprimand her from doing anything. And the mother says she fears the wrath of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon the family. What can the mother do?
First of all, that the father is not becoming the captain of the ship. And the father is shirking responsibility. And the father is responsible for his neglect. And the father should realize that he is spoiling the child. And by spoiling the child, he will ruin his household. He may break his marriage. And the father should realize that if there is going to be azab of Allah on that family, it is because of his negligence and his so-called leniency towards his daughter. And the father will be held wholly, solely responsible for the un-Islamic behavior of his daughter. The wife, the mother in this case, to the best of her ability, she must carry on reprimanding the child. It is her child, her responsibility also. And the child must be taught respect, failing which, that the wife should complain officially to her in-laws, father-in-law, mother-in-law, or in the absence of them or not taking action, she should complain to her father and mother so that they can talk to her husband and knock some sense into him.
We have a question saying, maaf for this dream question, but please explain if a person dreams that a deceased was given his book of deeds in his right hand.
That's a good dream, that. And we should make dua that materializes. However, Molana, I think you should discourage this dream thing.
Mufti Sahib, we have a question once more. Can you just tell our listeners out there that Mufti Sahib is repeating this question on Istikhara once too many times? Please, listeners, do pay attention to the program. It says the sister or the brother wants the question once more on Istikhara. If you can highlight it, Mufti Sahib.
Sometimes I feel that I'm talking English and the listeners are they understanding the English. It's very simple. What you did in the evening before you slept, you do the same thing in the day and sleep. Do the same thing and carry on with life. Meaning two rakats of Salatul Istikhara is a nafil salat. And then you carry on with life. Meaning behave normally. The thought will strike you, come to you. It is hovering over your head. And it will come to you that I must react and perform in a certain manner. And inshallah, you will be guided accordingly.
I have a question saying, please explain if asking a question to acquire knowledge regarding life is questioning the Creator.
Say it again slowly.
Please explain if asking a question regarding life is questioning the Creator.
No. Sometimes a person wants to understand something and does not know and wants to come to the bottom of it. It is permissible to ask questions provided the intention is sincere. And you want to follow the Sharia, then inshallah there is no harm in that. But if you want to be dubious, skeptical, that will result and will go towards blasphemous thoughts. That is not healthy. But if you are a sincere seeker, it is permissible to ask questions.
Okay, next question that we have, important question. Can Mufti Sahib please comment or advise on mazars or karamat where great saints are buried and Muslim brothers and sisters go there and some make dua around the qabr and they place a green cloth on the qabr and kiss the grave? Are people taking the blessing of the saint? Because I have seen this a lot. People say, we have another question that said early on. The brother says we have seen this a lot of times and it makes me confused.
There is nothing to be confused of. All those are acts of innovation. Where saints are buried, if truly there is a saint there, it is permissible to go there and make dua. And in reality, they have already attained their desired lofty positions. We are those requiring and in need of dua. However, it is permissible to go and make dua there, what they term as Fatiha. But to go around the grave to put this green cloth or to light lamps or to make an offering there and to make tawaf of the grave, all this is innovations. Definitely we should abstain totality of this. And there's no thing as celebration of their birthdays, etc. We can make dua through their wasila, ya Allah, accept our duas through this pious saint's good action. That is permissible according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. To hold a belief that they answer prayers, that is tantamount to shirk. Ji.
What is the shortest period to perform Umrah?
Shortest period?
Just what
go to Tadib.
How many days?
How many days? No, Umrah got no specification of days. As soon as you want to make, and you are in Mecca, you go to Masjid Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that is Tadib, and on your Arab there, come back, all the taxi drivers are shouting, they chota Umrah, get them to take you to Tadib. Go and adorn your Ihram and come and make your Umrah.
JazakAllah for the next question. Why do some people only read Tasbih but not Salah? It is correct.
That is absolutely putting the horse before the cart. Make Salah. Salah is important. Salah is a gift and Salah is a nur and Salah will take us to Jannah. And Salat is the key to Jannah, and Salat is the first thing that we are going to be accountable for. And Salat sheds off the sins, and Salat earns the pleasure of Allah. Salat takes away the anger of Allah. Salat takes away the displeasure of Allah. Salat makes us pure, and Salat is obligatory. Salat is necessary. Salat is a gift for the Muslim, and Salat is the gift to be taken to Allah Ta'ala. Salat is going to be the first thing we are going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment. So Salat must be made first. Gee.
Next question, it says, I would like to know when a baby is born, Adhan is called in the ear. What happens if a newborn Muslim passes away, no Adhan has been given in the ear when the child is born? Must you just perform Janazah Salah?
Now you perform Janazah Salah. Leave the matter to Allah Jalla Majidahu. What are
they? Gee, Muthisab.
Half past nine now.
Okay, let's take one last question. Sorry for the time. Okay, it says a brother had a dream of his mother making imamat in the masjid, and the father, who is also deceased, is reading next to her salah. Can Musa please interpret this?
Inshallah, the mother will be going into Jannah, and the father will be following very close by.
JazakAllah for that, Mufsab. One last question, if you permit.
Inshallah.
What dua can be read for severe stomach pains?
Very simple. Surah Fatiha is a cure, according to the hadith, for all ailments, all sicknesses, all pains. So read 7 durood, 7 Surah Fatiha, 7 durood, blow, and let some of your saliva go into the water. I repeat, let some of your saliva go into the water. And then drink that water. Inshallah, Ta'ala will grant shifa kamila, ajila, mustamira.
JazakAllah for the Mufisab. I think this is the last question.
Inshallah.
We have a lot of other questions on the phone, but some nasiha, inshallah, from your side will be going over time.
Inshallah. JazakAllah. First of all, before some nasiha, that now, generally, I will mention to you what our activities for the remaining days of the week. Tomorrow is Wednesday, and Wednesday night, that's tomorrow night, after Isha Salah in Pietermaritzburg, there is a masjid called Masjid al-Salihin, which is corner of Prince Alfred and Fleet Street. After Isha tomorrow in Pietermaritzburg, in that masjid, Masjid al-Salihin, there is a question and answer session, and we will be answering, inshallah, in that masjid. Then Juma, inshallah, I'm performing in Mountain Rise Masjid in Pietermaritzburg. And Friday night, there's a question and answer session of ours in Stenger Masjid. So Friday is quite a hectic day. Pietermaritzburg, Juma, and then Q&A in Stenger. So we request That will be after Isha, instead. We request listeners to make dua that Allah Ta'ala take work from us and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us ability to serve the deen. As parting, I would like to state that the laws of Sharia are derived from the sources of Sharia. And the sources of Sharia mean Quran, Sunnah, and Ijma, and Qiyas. In our age, and especially in our age, when we look at the statements of Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who clearly state we should follow Sahaba Ikram's statements, activities, actions. Especially in our age, that no Maulana, no matter how famous is he, can be a proof in Sharia. No Mufti, no matter how knowledgeable is he, can he himself, his action can be a proof. Proof in Sharia, as I've stated what it is. No person, no matter how many murids and disciples he's got walking around him, can be a proof in Sharia. That is why we will come to know that a lot of activities now Maulanas are doing, and strangely enough they are doing, attending functions and celebrations, etc., which previously they were saying don't even go near there, but they are now attending and speaking there too. Unfortunately, this is the age where we should safeguard and protect our iman and adhere firmly to the maslak of the ulama e Deoband. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand this simple deed and practice this deed. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look after you, inshallah.
Inshallah. Ameen.
And make dua for us as well and all the listeners out there.
Jazakallah. Ameen.
Jazakumullah once again. Okay, that's Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas, and it brings us to the end of our Q&A program. Inshallah, Mufti will be back next week, same time. Inshallah, on Radio Islam Media Way 1548.